Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the hill, large crowds followed him. He always had these crowds around him. And we know the crowds thought he was great at the time, but then it was the same lot who were shouting out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And a man suffering from a terrible skin disease, they called it leprosy, he came to Jesus, knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and everyone would have said, "Oh, he touched a leper," because that was supposed to make you unclean. But maybe it didn't make Jesus unclean, because the minute he touched him, he was clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "I do want to," Jesus answered, "be clean." And at once the man was healed of his disease. So Jesus says, "I do want to." Man says, "If you want to, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I do want to." So all the time Jesus is saying, I do want to. I really want to do what I can for you. So Jesus is not like, couldn't care less. He really isn't passive. He's like, he really wants to be involved. And Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anybody, but go immediately to the priests and let the priest examine you in order to demonstrate to everybody that you've been cleansed. And then offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded." Well, there was a ritual in the law of Moses that if you were cleansed from leprosy, then you had to make a sacrifice. But I guess nobody was really cleansed from leprosy. So this was a law that hadn't really been obeyed. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman officer met him and begged for help. "Sir," he said, "my servant lays sick at home in his bed. He can't move and he is in terrible suffering. I will go and heal him," Jesus said. "No," the centurion replied, "I don't deserve to have you come even under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will get well, for I too am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and I say to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and I tell my slave to do this, and he does it." So this man really believed in the power of the word of Jesus. And that same word is what we have to us. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those who followed him, "I tell you, I never found faith like this, not even in Israel." So you see, it was a Gentile, it was a non-Jew who had greater faith. And he said, "I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And those who ought to be in the kingdom will be thrown out into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Not because he's going to torture them, but because they'll be so mad with themselves at the future that they missed. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go home, and according to your faith it will be done to you." And the centurion's servant was healed from that very moment. Jesus then went to the house of Peter, and there Peter's mother-in-law was in bed, sick with a burning fever. Jesus touched her hand. You see how all the time Jesus touched. He got really involved with people, just as he does in our lives. And the fever left her. She got up and began to serve him. So that's what we should do in response to being blessed by him, to serve. When the evening came, people brought to Jesus many who were sick, and Jesus cured the people. And he did this to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah had said, that he himself took our sicknesses and carried all our diseases. So he got involved with us, and he still gets involved with us in all the little issues that we have in our lives, and also the big ones. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he ordered the disciples to go to the other side of the lake. And a scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will go with you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have their holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere even to lay his head." So it just shows how poor Jesus was. He wasn't staying in fancy hotels. Another man said, "Master, first let me return and bury my father, and then I'll follow you." Jesus replied, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." So he's really saying, your relationship with me has got to come in front of your relationship even with your family, which is tough even today, but in those days, family meant everything. And to put Jesus in front of your family was a big thing. Jesus then got into a boat, and the disciples were with him. And suddenly a fierce storm arose on the lake, and the boat was about to sink, and Jesus was asleep. The disciples went to him and woke him and said, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." "Why are you so fearful?" Jesus said. "Are you of little faith?" Then Jesus got up and ordered the winds and the waves to be calm, and there was a great calm. And the men were amazed. "What manner of man is this?" they said. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." So I wonder if Jesus really was asleep, or whether this is an example of where God and Jesus at times appear to be silent, but they're not really. When Jesus came to the country of the Gadarenes, he was met by two men out of the caves there, which were used as tombs. These men had demons, that is, they were mentally ill. They were so fierce that nobody could even travel on that road. And they screamed, "What do you want with us, you, the Son of God? Have you come to punish us before the time?" Not far away, there was a large herd of pigs, and so the demons begged Jesus, "If you're going to drive us out, send us into that herd of pigs." "Go," Jesus said, and so they went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the side of the cliff into the lake and drowned. The men who'd been looking after the pigs fled. They went into the town, and they told what had happened to the men who were there. So everybody from the town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their area. So when people really do encounter Jesus, very often people said, "I don't want any more to do with you." It's so sad. People say, "Oh, I'm searching for the truth." But then when they find it, some people say, "Nah, I don't want this." Whereas Jesus is the end of the search. He really is the ultimate answer to everything.